The liturgy of the resurrection. You know, we have come through Lent and Holy Week, periods of serious spiritual labor. We have come through this time, time to look and search our hearts for that which we long and need. Those things we long for and those things we need. You see, Lent is similar to the work that is required to prepare a plot of land for gardening. Many of y'all have been in this process in the past weeks and months. Some with Earth Day around about us have been planting all kinds of things. There are weeds to pull. There are clumps of grass to remove. Sometimes rocks to clear out of the way. Likewise, you know, Lent requires that backbreaking and tedious labor of clearing ourselves of pride, pulling weeds of selfishness, and trimming away the accumulated clumps of self-centeredness. You see, Lent then was our season to work the soil of our very souls and clear away the debris that distracts our minds and clutters our hearts. You see, I don't know about you, but my liturgical legs were pretty tired and weary when Resurrection finally rolled into town last week. It was a busy time. I was ready to throw off the discipline of Lent and the anxiety of Holy Week and replace them with a more relaxing and relief-filled resurrection. The Lord is risen. The Lord is risen indeed, did we not say? But yet today's reading from John's Gospel tells us something. The infamous doubt in Thomas, that passage that calls us to say, wait a minute, there's work to be done. There is gardening yet to do. It's not over, it's just beginning. The gospel lesson for the second Sunday of Easter for all 3 years in the lectionary cycle is John 20, 19 through 31. Today is that day. We, of course, are in year A, and it falls every third year, but always right now, usually around this time, they all three have the same thing. That means that this is an important lesson for us all. When it is one that is used every year, it's one that says it's important. Maybe we should pay attention and take notice of what's going on. You see, the spiritual work of Lent is a private thing between you and God. The work of the resurrection, though, the work of the resurrected life is more communal. It's more public. It's a time of being the church family at work in the world, in the community, in the neighborhood, wherever you are. It's putting what you have learned and what you know and how you've grown to work. You see, many Protestant churches get upset, they bristle, put up roadblocks in the mind when someone says liturgy. I've heard people say, well, I just don't like that mess. That's too structured. Oh, y'all just don't, let the Spirit move you and flow. Well, let me tell you something. If you follow the lectionary, I tell you something, the Spirit works in it, in and through it all the time. There are times that I don't do it, follow it. Something don't happen that Sunday. It just don't work. And those people in here who know what the lectionary is, they'll say, that was interesting. I like that. Then others say, well, I have no clue what she's talking about, so whatever, you know. It's something liturgy, liturgical, lectionary, whatever that stuff is. But make no mistake, sometimes people say liturgy and they stop because we mistakenly put it together with something that is a rote repetition. But you know something, those rote repetition things we say are something we say, we've said two of them in here today. The Lord's Prayer and the Apostles' Creed. Sometimes, yes, we do say it, and we don't think about what it says, but we need to think about those words in each one of them, what they say, what they mean, how they affect us. Thinking about the empty phrases of the Gentiles that we read about in Matthew chapter 6, or we think about the style of worship that is formal. That's what people think about when they think of rote and lectionary. They won't, oh, it's that formal stuff, that traditional stuff. Well, let me make something real clear to you today, clear your mind. We are certainly not high or formal in our style of worship, I can promise you that. The word liturgy carries the idea of public work in service of the state or in a religious context, the people's work, the people's service. It's our service to God, not to humanity, but to God. It's what we are doing. In this sense, all worship is liturgical. But the idea of liturgy as our public work of worship came to my mind as I meditated and studied upon this scripture this week in John's gospel for us today. If we simply stop with the spiritual work demanded by Lent and Holy Week, then all we have accomplished is spiritual brush removal. We've just kind of got the stuff out of the way, so it looks a little better. All we've done is cleared out some of the debris. We've tidied up the place a little bit, so it looks better on the outside. We did a little bit. Some of that's been done around here. We clean things up. We brush them up. They look a little good on the outside. But you know, we need to remember, but the Lord is risen. The Lord is risen indeed, and we need to remember that. That changes everything for you and me. Jesus' resurrection plows into the depths of us to plant and reap new life. Resurrection ensures that the church's soil does not lie fallow, does not lie in waste. I can remember many, many years ago when no-till farming came around. My granddaddy, my mom's dad, thought that was the biggest disgrace that ever come to anything in his life. He thought that you had to, you know, plowing that field and making it look pretty, planting that crop, plowing those rows. He liked, and my daddy did too. People have said that field looks like it's been washed and ironed. It's so pretty. Well, when we come with no-till stuff, you know, they spray everything and it kills everything and you got weeds sticking up and everything's dead. And then they go in there and they plant a crop in it. Well, it's saving stuff. Well, some people just don't like that because it looks like it's just laying there wasted and fallen. And we're like, what in the world is going on? But there is good things that come from it. But sometimes we have to dig deep. We have to plow up. We have to subsoil. We have to get down and get that stuff out and let it come to the surface. And we have to renew ourselves. That's what plowing and doing and preparing. We need to get down to the depths of us and to reap that new life is there. You see, resurrection ensures that the church's soul doesn't lie fallow. We don't want it to lie like that. We don't want that to happen. We don't want it to be in waste. We don't want to just be showing up for no reason. We just don't want to be playing church. That's not what we should be about. You see, we've cleared the ground of our souls. We now need to move on to realize the goal of the people's work. Planting, tilling, watering, and harvesting. That's our jobs. You know, some people are going to plant. They're going to be the ones that plant new churches, new seeds, new hope, new something in someone. There's going to be people coming along that's going to help till that soil. They're going to help nurture. They're going to be there to help people along the way. They're going to give encouragement and nurture that person. They're going to help them in their relationship. They're going to till. There's people that's going to come and add a little bit of water every now and then. They're going to help them out. They're going to do some of the same things. They're going to try to nourish. And then there are going to be people that are there to watch the harvest and help gather it in. You're going to be the one that somebody planted a seed a long time ago, but you're going to be the one that gets to take the glory and say, wow, thank you, Lord, for letting me be a part of someone coming to know you, coming to share that time. You know, that's going to be the part that we are all part of this together. We are a part of the garden. We are part of the garden of life. We are here in the garden of Jesus' resurrection. That's who He has allowed us to be a part of. If we turn to John's Gospel, the 20th chapter, verses 19 and 31, if we look at it with spectacles of public work or the people's worship, we can identify several species of plant life that should spring forth from the fertile soil of resurrection that is at work within us today. Sometimes we can see the things that are happening. We know it's happening. Things are going to come forth. Good things are going to happen. If we look at it with new eyes, that's what it's saying. If we just put on a new pair of glasses, if we look at it with new eyes, eyes of our heart, that's when that happens. The first thing we notice is that the disciples are ready. They are already in the habit of assembling on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. That's today, the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. Despite their fear and confusion, these earliest disciples find it necessary together as a community. Could it be that Thomas's conspicuous absence that day from the assembled disciples impacts his ability to believe? We don't know. Even the decision to gather in part is part of our liturgy as the people of God, an act of worship. If we wish to probe the meaning today and reality of the risen Lord, it is going to happen most fully when we are gathered for work of worship. This is work, people, the work of worship. It doesn't just happen. There's people that work hard to bring it about. They come together to learn, to work, to do, to make sure that it all comes together. The choir practices and works. The acolytes come together and get their stuff here. Sometimes if there's one not here, the other one will step up if somebody's here. The sound guys back there, Dan and James, work so very hard. James, he does all this stuff. I send him things and he puts them up here. He puts it together. Miss Wanda works on music, thinking about stuff for you all. I think about it. I work. All kinds of stuff's happening. The ushers are here to come together to help lead, to guide, to show you all. The Sunday school teachers are. Things happen. It all kind of works together. People are working. They're doing. They're preparing. They're gathering. They're coming to make worship be a part. You see, in this liturgy of resurrection, as the disciples are gathered, Christ appears to them, bearing the marks of His passion. Please don't miss that. Please don't miss that He is there working for us. The passion that is there, that He died so that we could have life eternal. You see, Jesus from the beginning exposes His wounds for the sake of those present, effectively allowing them to find their faith yet again. Both Sunday appearances involve a physical confrontation with the actual marks of passion. We would do well to consider the same invitation to embrace the Eucharistic marks in our own liturgies as often as we gather for worship. We need to come and think about why we're here. We need to come and take a good look at our Lord once again. One could make a good theological case today, I believe, that the church was being formed as those disciples handled the body that was broken for them. This Easter liturgy does not call for us to forget or discard the marks of suffering. Oh no, not at all. Our liturgical work is to live into and out of those marks by filling ourselves with the bread of life and drinking deeply, my friends, from the cup of salvation. We also notice today from this passage the giving of a blessing. Peace be with you. My peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. Peace be with you, He says in John 20, 19 and 21. Peace is the fulfillment of Jesus' earlier promises. Scholars point out that Jesus' statement is not a wish or a hopeful intention. It functions as a statement of fact. The liturgy of the resurrection requires that as followers of Christ, we work for and proclaim peace. We work for and proclaim peace. We are not the instigators of something. We're supposed to be about peace. Another aspect of our resurrection work involves apostolic mission. Only here does John have his disciples, Jesus' disciples, commissioned by Jesus as apostles or the sent ones, entrusted with the salvation message of resurrection. In John's gospel, the Father sends the Son to serve as both a model and the ground for the Son to send disciples. Our liturgy of resurrection will always involve a divine mission, and as Jesus continues, divine empowerment. He empowers us all. Jesus gives the Holy Spirit to His disciples by breathing on them. He gives it to you and me that are left. He says, the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit what comes upon you, you will be empowered. In liturgical terms, the Holy Spirit empowers them to complete the commission just delivered and ensures the power over sin to follow. It's often called absolution. They're being called out. They're being prayed for. They're being anointed with the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit, He says. Jesus utters as He breathes on them in John 20, 22. It's not difficult for us to imagine why ancient baptismal subjects were often breathed upon before baptism, the Holy Spirit to breathe upon them. We see that the church's work in worship and witness are indistinguishable aspects of liturgy. They're a part of it. They've got to be there. Work and worship. In one of the more complicated and puzzling statements from the resurrected Jesus, we read that the forgiveness and the retention of sin somehow falls on our shoulders. Notice that John doesn't spell out how all this forgiveness business works, only that this power is exercised in light of the resurrection. Such power has been used and abused throughout the church's history. But in the end, we must be aware that what we do matters. What we say matters. Our forgiveness matters. Our spiritual work, like that of the Trinitarian God, the Father, Son, and the Spirit, is in and for the world, for the healing of all the nations, of everyone. Finally, today, our call to liturgical work finds us confessing with Thomas that Jesus is both Lord and God. See, Thomas says, "My Lord and my God." He calls him that. My Lord. He's accepted him. There's another time in Scripture that who says that? Zacchaeus. Finally, when he's up in that tree and he comes down, when Jesus calls him, he says, "My Lord. My Lord." He gets it. He's my Lord and my God. Our work is complete. We have transformed from the fearful and anxious group gathered in an out-of-the-way place into a liturgical body wherein peace, mission, and forgiveness are the norm, a realm where the resurrected Jesus is proclaimed as the Lord of all. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you this day for this liturgy of the resurrection, for being able to call us out in the midst of who you have called us all to be, to remind us, Lord, of that which you have for us, to remind us, Lord, of the goodness of serving, of working, of loving. Lord, we ask this day that you just continue to open up our hearts and our minds as we are about your business throughout the week, throughout the world, in our homes, in our families, with the people we come in contact with each and every day. We ask, Lord, that you continue to allow us to glean from that which you have put before us, to love, to care, to share, to give. But, Lord, to be able just to sit and to be and to glean from that which we have studied and worked through, to remind ourselves, Lord, of the goodness that comes through your resurrection, that we are children of the resurrected Lord, that we are Easter people, not only this day, but every day. For it is in your Son's name I pray. Amen.